Sorry, I was just in the middle of unfriending someone on Facebook, Rav.
I thought you said unfriend.
Unfriend. I don't do it often, but somebody came up. I don't even know. You know how you have like friends of a friends of a friend, so you accept the person on your personal page? Well, word came out that apparently this guy did something like he left his cat out in the cold weather intentionally.
What?
And so in the world of the wrestling community, some people were just like, yeah, this guy's banned from certain wrestling events.
Whoa.
Because animal abuse is not okay. And I'm like, who is this person? I click on their name. I'm like, I'm friends with them. Unfriend. No. I've had to do that a couple times where like somebody was like in trouble. Like he was just being kind of an abusive person. And I'm like, I'm friends with that person?
Unfriend.
Like, I'll unfollow somebody because of their political opinions, but if you're hurting animals or humans,
gosh, right?
I don't even have time for it. And I don't even care if it's like not 100%. Like, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
And if you're not my actual friend, where I really do care about what you have to say in regards to that, if there's like if it's an allegation or not, you're out of my life.
I've got
get out of my life.
Out of my life. Unfriend.
Unfriend. Big statement made.
I've been doing that just on anything. If I see you post too many memes, I'm like finding excuses to unfriend people. I'm like, are you just trying to like basically boil this all down to a meme? Yeah, a little more complicated than that. Unfriend.
Unfriend.
The unfollow button is my favorite thing. I've unfollowed people for the dumbest stuff, like too many pictures of their kids.
The most awkward moment is though. And I've gotten this where people ask, it's like, well, why aren't we friends anymore? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I don't remember. And then I look back at their thing.
You did something stupid.
Right? Exactly. And it's like, and I don't necessarily remember at the time. It was like a whim sort of thing, you know, in the moment. And then I go back and I look at their page. It's like, well, do I want to tell them it was because of this post and this post and this post? And maybe you shouldn't talk so much smack about things.
Right. After a while, you just start being annoying. So you're unfriended.
Unfriend.
That's going to be today's topic of the show. It's funny. I almost unfriended a friend on Facebook because, real quick, let me just say hi to a couple people who I've unfollowed on Facebook, but they're still my friends. No, I'm kidding. I genuinely love these dudes. I just recently got to meet them and get to know them because of Without a Cause Wrestling.
Yeah.
And they also listen to the podcast and they hit me up and like, hey, SmackDown's coming. We're getting all excited. Any chance we could come hang out and be a part of the Mixcast? I was like, absolutely. So I just want to say hi to Rob, Trevor, and also John, all members. Are you guys Whackers? Whack Club?
Whack Club.
We're Whack Club.
So we call ourselves the Wrestling Attendance Crew.
Oh!
WAC.
Nice! Yeah.
Whack, that whack. Way we didn't have to get our own swag stuff, you know?
Yeah, piggyback like off the merchandise.
Hey, you know, the setup fees are ridiculous, so I think that's a good call.
Says the guy with no merch.
Right?
Oh.
But there's plenty of merch of insulting me.
Right.
Chase James.
Yeah, I know. What's going on, man?
There's a Migs Stink shirt out there, and a Migs is an a-hole shirt.
Oh, I did want to say it is 205, so happy Cruiserweight Day.
Happy Cruiserweight
Whoa.
Day.
Whoa! Are they doing? Do they do 205 Live still at SmackDown?
I don't know.
But I believe so.
Hopefully.
What a perfect day for this to happen then. Yeah, that's pretty rad. So tonight's SmackDown at the Everett, Angel of the Winds Arena in Everett, which is going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it. And the weather seems like it's going to be decent enough to handle.
It'll be good for these 2 days.
Yep.
Like,
and then back to crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of, I'm sure you guys saw on SmackDown last week, Rev, you'll love this.
Uh-oh.
Samoa Joe's guest on Migs vs. the World of Wrestling, my other podcast, so cheap plug for that one. but when I talked to him last week, dude, when that guy has a microphone, he is just straight up perfection on the microphone.
He's like, amazing.
He is so damn good. And last week, he was doing a promo where he's at the end, where he's announcing that they're setting it up so that the Elimination Chamber, Samoa Joe is going to be competing for the title against Daniel Bryan. Randy Orton's in it. Also, Jeff Hardy, Mustafa Ali. A bunch of people are in the Elimination Chamber. So Jeff Hardy comes out of nowhere. not Jeff Hardy, but Samoa Joe comes out of nowhere while Jeff Hardy's in the ring. They've had some issues in the past where Jeff has cut some promos on Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe's cut some promos on Jeff, which has just been amazing because he goes for the alcohol abuse angle.
It's brutal, man.
So you guys probably know the clip I'm about to play.
Yeah.
So Samoa Joe comes out to cut a promo. Jeff Hardy tries cutting him off, and Samoa Joe's response, and I know that they're fully cool with it, but still, it was one of those moments where Randy Orton turned around, hunched over, and you could tell he was like cracking up with the O-S. I can't believe you just said that.
Oh, nice.
So here's what happened on SmackDown last week. Or the week before. I can't remember if it plays. Why is it not playing?
Is it not up?
No, it's up.
It's in there.
Here.
All right, let me plug it back in. This is high quality production.
Turn it off and turn it back on again.
Oh, man.
Multi-million dollar studio.
Right? What the hell? Well, I guess you're not going to get to hear it. Maybe I'll just play it through my speakerphone.
Weird.
It's like, that'll work. No.
Are you muted? Did you mute it?
Am I Bluetoothed? Let's see.
Did you break it? Is this playing somewhere it's else playing in the building?
Did I Bluetooth on someone's stuff?
That'd be so great.
All of a sudden on the sound, it's like hearing Samoa yes. Joe, right?
Yeah, Fisher is like, what the hell? Let's try it again. There we go.
No.
Oh, no.
What is going on here?
And you don't have it muted or?
Well, apparently the clip is 20 minutes long. I think I might have.
Backstage.
Oh, this is the whole interview. That's why.
Well, that makes this podcast go real smooth.
Oh, dude, this is ridiculous. I'm so embarrassed, man. Oh, here it is. Okay, now right. I'm plugging it back
Let's
in.
Let's try this again.
Botch. Take two. There we go. I'll edit this in post.
Jeff, I already put you out. I don't even know why you're out here right now. Keep on talking, Jeff.
Hey, do me a favor. Why don't you act like this is an AA meeting and you shut your mouth while I'm sharing with you?
It was worth waiting for, right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Wow.
Yay.
Wow. Technical difficulties.
I'm glad you guys are here because Without a Cause has another show coming up on the 24th. Your local celebrity Twitter verified Steve Miggs will be there.
Of course. Yep.
And that's where I got to kind of know you guys. So I think it'd be kind of cool to hear your perspective of Without a Cause and also just kind of like, you know, because it's been a crazy experience for me and it's been kind of fun to be able to share it with you guys because you guys were like the first group of guys that I got to chat with and I'm like, oh man, okay, I feel comfortable. There's some good people here. I'm not walking into something where like people are going to be jerks. So yeah. I don't know which one of you guys wants to jump in, but start with Rob.
That's funny.
Rob.
There is that one kid though, Steve.
That kid sucks. I'm glad she wasn't there last time. That 8-year-old girl who kept what did she chant? Baldy scaredy cat.
Yeah, Baldy
among
scaredy
cat. Scaredy cat. And I was like, you shut the F up.
Yeah, it works.
I'm talking about the kid that said that they.
Oh, go F
effing,
yourself.
Yes.
Oh, no, I effing hate you.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That kid was awesome. I like that kid. I didn't like the person making fun of my hairline.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so I know I've been a wrestling fan off and on for a long time, you know, kind of in and out the Attitude Era, and I really got back in. I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And then I saw Trevor actually posted that Max was starting up a promotion in Everett. And I'm like, dude, that's like 10 minutes from my house. Like, obviously, I'm going to go. Front row tickets are like super cheap. And I was like, I don't even really know anybody who's going to be there. I didn't even know you were going to be there. And then we started going. We all got front row seats. And we were just like, dude, this is kind of like home. Like,
yeah.
Everybody's a family. Like even the heels, like, during the intermission and like after the show, like everybody just hangs out and talks like they have nothing but time for you. They're not pushing merch on you. If you want to buy merch, obviously they're going to take your money.
Dude, every show it's like, where's your merch? I'm like, I don't have any merch. Yeah. People are always asking me. I'm like, I keep meaning to and I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
Or it gets to be to the point where I'm like, I don't have enough time to make one.
And there's so much wrestling around here, but it's like, we live North End, so it's hard to get down to Seattle for like a 3-2-1 and Defy sells out, you know, in seconds. So it's
right.
It's nice to have our own promotion that we can go to that's actually like getting some big names, like
bringing great talent.
Strickland, Shane Strickland, and Joey Ryan is ridiculous. Yeah, like,
dude, Joey Ryan,
dog style.
Joey Ryan's going to be there. Shane Strickland's going to be there. Also, DJZ.
DJZ.
Coming back again.
Yep. And
Hammerstone.
Hammerstone, I'm very excited about.
Local celebrity Steve Miggs.
That's the most important one. Hammerstone, it's an interesting. He I think he's from Colorado, but he's really cut his teeth in Portland, but he just got signed to MLW, which is a pretty popular independent wrestling promotion that you know that people know across the world. But for a while people were giving him a hard time because they kept calling him Single H because Hammerstone looks like Triple H. Long hair, same kind of trunk style. So funny
Jacked.
Story I found out about him. Yeah, he's in great shape, incredible in the ring.
As I do my awkward pose.
I know, like all of us, like all. But the backstory was though people give him a hard time about that, but no one can give him a hard time about his in ring work. And also apparently he's a super awesome dude, right? So he was going for an Impact Wrestling tryout, I think in Vegas, and he caught wind that some people were like, oh yeah, they're not going to want a Triple H lookalike, and like he had that moment, you know the moment like of doing something like a quick rash decision that actually turns out to be a great idea.
Yeah.
So he, as he's going to go to the tryout, pulls over to a hairstylist and gets all of his hair cut off. So it's short.
Whoa.
And changes his whole gimmick. So now his gimmick and he's kind of created this incredible morph between like a psychotic kind of wrestler and Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Okay.
His promos are very Fight Club-esque.
Wow.
His look is very, like, he looks like Tyler Durden hit the gym since birth.
Nice.
You know what I mean? He's like, he's ripped.
Wow.
The character is freaking amazing. Like, I was a fan of Hammerstone before, but now it's like, I am so stoked to see him at Without a Cause. And if you haven't seen Hammerstone, he's also going to be wrestling at Defy this Saturday in Portland. He's going to be there taking on Shaft, which will be an insane match. And then Everett on the 24th for WAC, he's taking on Daniel Makabe, who's...
I love Makabe. I fell in love with him on 3-2-1 just watching on the Twitch stream. And it was one of his championship battles. I'm like, this guy is an amazing technical wrestler.
He knows what he's doing.
So
that's going to be a fun match because you got a big dude. And his promo's been great. He's like, you're getting to wrestle at all the places that won't return my phone calls. I'm coming for you, Makabe. So it's going to be a good one. I'm pretty pumped, man. So that's awesome that that's what got you hooked on it.
So when are you coming up, Rev?
Well, Everett is a really far away from Tacoma, like you guys were just talking about.
Yeah.
So when WAC goes on the road, they'll probably make that happen.
WAC, you all up.
Right.
Oh. We'll just FaceTime you the whole time.
Perfect.
John, Trevor, what about you guys? Like, experiences, what's been like your favorite part so far of the whole WAC wrestling experience?
Well, for me, it's meeting all the people, because I soon want to become a wrestling promoter myself.
Oh, so you're just kind of stealing Max's ideas. That's
direct competition.
Just see how it goes.
Direct competition.
Back in the 80s, we called that biting.
Yes, you're biting my style. That's not mint.
But I like how they have a wrestling promotion in Everett now. Because I used to go to the TCW.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, way back.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's nice to have an Everett promotion because, like you said, I mean, 3-2-1, obviously I'm a huge fan. I'll be there this Friday. And I think other than hanging out with my wife, all I do is wrestling stuff. That's pretty much it.
And drums.
And drums, but that's rare. It's just whenever... That's other stuff we'll have to talk when Glenn comes. Glenn's not going to be here today because of the roads are crazy.
Snowpocalypse.
Not because he can't handle the driving.
He was from back east. I thought he knew how to drive in the snow.
Well, see?
Yeah,
you're about to be stood corrected because he has an opportunity to make a lot of money as an Uber driver.
Oh, okay. No,
because people are too scared to drive.
You're right. I can't fault him.
Think before you. Let me finish my saying.
Glenn.
Unfriended. Right.
Glenn, this is direct message to you. If you're listening, I'm sorry.
Yes. That's awesome. So, John, how about yourself, man?
Well, you know, I think everybody that has been a wrestling fan, their biggest thing is to be able to go see their favorite superstar at a show and get to meet them afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you gone to a WWE show and, God, I wish I'd met Samoa Joe or Roman Reigns or Becky Lynch? You know, something like that, where you get to do that.
Yeah, I know.
We've been besties. We've been texting. That's not a big deal.
I'm just kidding.
That's why you're a local celebrity.
Right. Becky knows. But see, her career is very similar to mine. She's not getting the respect she deserves in the WWE, not putting her face on the banners, not putting her face on the billboards. Your local celebrity, it's like a microcosm.
Are you the man?
And all of a sudden, she's got a knee injury wearing a knee brace.
You both have
blue check marks? Who has a knee injury? That's right.
Ooh. The local celebrity.
Look.
And likes to hit Dave Turner, apparently. Too.
She punches Dave Turner. I'd like to punch Dave Turner.
I hope that happens. That would have been cool.
And I also look good with red hair, but I can't grow it. I'm kidding.
Okay.
We're buying you a wig, dude, for the next show.
Yeah, right?
The similarity is
like a Ronald McDonald wig, though.
Oh, more like
that. Yeah, dude. How about Dave Turner? A lot of local talent get the opportunity to work for the WWE when they come to town. They use them like either as enhancement talent or as quote unquote security guards or police officers.
Mm hmm.
So Becky Lynch is losing her mind in front of Stephanie McMahon on Raw last night. All of a sudden coming in as security to take care of it, Dave Turner.
Nice.
And he gets punched right in the face by Becky Lynch.
Whoops.
I almost grabbed the video. I'm like, when one friend punches the other friend, and I could not be happier about it. I was so happy to see that.
Wait, guys, don't fight. Oh, wait, this is cool.
So, yeah, I get it. See all the people that wait outside the parking area.
Yeah, just to get a glimpse
just
of them.
Just to say hi.
Let alone sit there and get to meet them.
Right.
And that's the cool thing about the independent scene is you get to do that. We've been able to meet some great people and become friends with them through our shared love of wrestling.
Yeah.
And like you and Max, who's an amazing guy.
He's a great dude.
And if you guys out there listening, you want to go see a great wrestling show, WAC's the way to go.
It's great because it's a labor of love for Max and everyone else that's involved behind the scenes with it. He's got a lot of good people, good friends of mine that really bust their ass. And at first, you just don't know how it's going to be. And the first show was good attendance for a first show, but you're like, okay, let's hope that he could get better attendance the next show. Next show, a little bit more. And that third show, I think the numbers doubled.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the numbers even get... I mean, it's going to be a packed house on February 24th.
I think for the 24th show, didn't the front rows sell out immediately. Like
4 days?
Away?
Wow. Yeah. 4 days. Yes. Congratulations. Exactly.
That's what happens when you get Shane Strickland, the hottest free agent.
And the best part about sitting in the front row is chances are a wrestler will end up in your lap.
Yeah. There's no barricade.
Yeah. At all.
Oh!
Yeah.
We're literally so as close as I am to you, that's where the edge of the ring is.
See, I like that barricade. There's a safety right there, you know? Like, seriously.
So you don't like sweaty men in your lap?
No, not really.
Well, that makes one of us.
Yeah. I'm alone on that island, and I accept this.
So the second show, we're all sitting front row.
Yes.
And Pitfall Jones comes out. He literally makes us get out of our seats and does a move running down the chairs. It was so cool.
It was a Pitfall the Game.
Yeah.
It totally was.
Yeah.
Where he was jumping things like they were crocodile heads.
Yes.
Oh. Ridiculous. And awesome.
If only Rev had been there for the sound effects, that'd have been the perfect show.
Oh, with
the
whipping sounds. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to February 24th. You can get information, just go to Without a Cause on Facebook, or you could just do a Google search and figure out where to find them. I tell you where, but you know, they don't put my face on their posters.
I thought they had one with your face on it.
There's a giant cross mark over my face, Rev.
Oh.
So they don't deserve the free web publicity.
Hey, at least you have good highlight video of your band.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. Thanks to Trevor.
That's right.
Trevor took a bunch of video and made a cool montage video with Bruiser Brody's music.
Montage!
Quick plug for Bruiser Brody, just announced.
Yeah.
Getting to open 3 nights with Steel Panther in Vancouver at the Commodore Ballroom.
How insane is that, dude?
The best part about that, it's legitimately one of those stories where the headlining band liked the opening band and asked them to go on and play the shows with them. That's rare that happens. You know, usually it's like a promoter that just says this is a good fit. The drummer fell in love with our band because of Travis being in Second Coming.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was posting online about Second Coming, how awesome Second Coming is. And big shout out to Matt Koch from the podcast and from our overnights. He tweeted at Styx Zedinia. Hey, man, if you like Second Coming, you should check out Travis's new band, Bruiser Brody. He did fall in love with us, and next thing you know, we're getting to open for them 3 nights in Vancouver on the 11th, 12th, and 13th.
That's awesome.
And tickets are available. 13th is sold out already?
13th is sold out. The other two are selling out pretty quick, and I've already heard from a bunch of people that are planning on making the road trip here from work.
Road trip!
Like a lot of like Miles and Taryn and other people as well, which is pretty damn cool. It's funny because I have a lot of Canadian friends that are wrestlers, like the ones that are at ECCW that come down for like 3-2-1 or Defy, and now also come for WAC. And I was like, oh, man, I hope that they can come. And one of my buddies is Tony Baroni. And I was about to send him a message. Uncle Daddy, that's right.
Uncle Daddy.
The greasy one himself. As I'm about to write him a message, he goes, dude, my wife just said that you're opening up for Steel Panther. And I was like, that's too funny. I was about to see if you wanted to be my guest, because I've always wanted to party with him, because he's an awesome dude and he's fun when he's drunk. Mm-hmm. But I can't get drunk when I'm driving home, so we've never had that opportunity. I'm like, that's funny. I was about to hit you up to see if you want tickets. He goes, oh, we already have tickets. I just found out that you're opening for them.
Nice.
So I'm pretty pumped about that.
That is killer.
You staying up there for like 3 days, too?
I mean, what's the point, right?
Like, you have to.
Why drive home?
Right.
Just stay there.
I know. You got to hide a salmon in the wall and do all those crazy rock
make
star
a vacation
things.
Out of it.
Right. That's what I'm figuring. It's like a little getaway.
The real question is, do you bring your wife or does she stay here?
Oh, she can't come. I'm a rock star. Come on.
And it's Steel Panther.
I got to live up to my penis is community property.
The local celebrity / rock star.
As he plays with his wedding ring.
He gets off the phone and goes, honey, I love you.
Baby, I wish you could come. No, in all honesty, she's hoping to come for either Friday or Saturday. Actually, Fridays, because I was like, well, what Friday and Saturday? She's like, you know me when Sundays. I don't want to be tired on Sunday, the day before I have to go back to work.
Yeah, right.
I was like, all right. Well, maybe you should just quit your job, and then you can come Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Damn. That escalated.
Hopefully she'll be coming to at least one of the shows, but knowing my wife, she's not coming to any because she wants to hang out with our dog more than she wants to hang out with me. Although we're the rock stars, we should be able to bring Lulu.
Yeah, right?
Put
it in your rider, man.
Yeah.
Lulu. No brown M&Ms, and I need my little white dog.
That's no big deal. Yeah, don't worry. We'll bring food for her.
Right.
Yeah. I don't trust your decisions, Canada.
So how long has Bruiser Brody been together?
Oh, man, it started on the podcast, oddly enough.
We
about like 2 years?
About, I would figure. maybe not even quite 2 years.
Not the first show was at MIGSFest 1, right?
MIGSFest 2.
Two.
So a year and some change.
Yeah.
A year and two months,
nice,
maybe.
Nice.
So cool things have happened because of that. And speaking of Bruiser Brody, Travis, our frontman, Travis Brock, is working on a solo record. So
I'm excited for that.
So if anyone, maybe we could share it on the MIGSCast Facebook group. Please help fund his upcoming solo record. I think he's got a pretty modest goal of like $6,500. He's already got 1,000 raised. I know I put in some money for it. BJ did as well, which was cool. Nice, got a really nice message from Travis. Just he's like, dude, your support just in general has meant a lot, but the fact that you're like actually putting your money where your mouth is means the world to me.
If you've ever been to a Bruiser Brody show, or if you've listened to the Bruiser Brody album, the dude has amazing pipes, but he does so much more than just what you guys do.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, I was blown away the first time I saw him, and it wasn't just because of his fancy mustache. He has
a nice mustache.
Some amazing pipes, and, like, yeah, I'm gonna, I'll share it on the MIGS,
please,
on the MIGSCast page, and I'll probably kick in for it as well.
And he was gonna be with us today, but because of how the weather conditions are, he wasn't gonna be able to make it in. So he'll be in, I think, towards the end of the month to hang out with us and get people hyped and pumped. But if you can, you got a couple bucks, help him out, man. This means a lot to him. This is a big opportunity for him to finally put out a solo record. It's kind of cool that in a weird way Bruiser Brody has inspired guys like Glenn and also Travis to feel comfortable in doing these Kickstarters, because you know money's tight and it's tough to put out a record that you want, that you would be proud of, on a short budget. So to have the opportunity to have people just buy the record in advance, you're not asking for more unless you want to buy a t-shirt in advance, or if you want an acoustic performance in advance, whatever it may be, to help those guys out, it's been kind of fun to be in a weird way a small part of that evolving into what it is. So I guess next up would be the Steve Miggs solo record, which nobody's going to want to buy. That would be funny if I decided to do a solo record, but it's just me on the drums and I just bring in other artists to play the other instruments.
It'd be almost like the first Foo Fighters album.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
But, I mean, I don't want to disparage or anything, but
I could go do it at Robert Lang. Right.
It's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, it's almost as good as my wrestling ability.
And if you guys can't find the links or anything like that, Kickstarter, Travis, The Last Funeral.
Okay.
And it's super easy to find as well, but I'm posting it on the MIGSCast page as well.
So something happened right before we started the podcast, which was rather embarrassing. I'm like, of course it's the day where I'm not going home and I can't change. So
do you need to go buy pants?
Yeah, something? Right.
Pretty close.
Target's down the line.
I don't know if you guys noticed. Hopefully, you weren't looking at my junk, but I have a giant wet spot. I look like I pissed myself.
Why'd you pee your pants?
I was eating yogurt in the office.
Oh yeah,
doing the old
yogurt.
I have two witnesses, and that is Robin and Ryan Castle. And I'm stirring.
I wouldn't trust him.
That's a good point.
Knock on the door. Hey Ryan.
Hey Ryan, prove my point. So I'm stirring the little cup of yogurt, and of course, it's a white substance, and it splashes. And now I had like four big drops of white on my black jeans. And I try to wipe it off real quick, but that just left like a white residue stain. And I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. Like, I'm now going to spend the rest of my night with what looks like I had a happy moment. And I'm supposed to meet up with like Becky Lynch at some point.
Oh, man.
Like, that's going to be, hey, Becky, good to see you.
Can you like get like a sweatshirt or something and do like the total like just tie off
wrap around
and then wrap it around?
Early 90s grunge look.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to see my buddies Cooper and Roy right before we were going to SmackDown together. And they're like, why is Steve keeping his hand over his junk the entire time?
The entire time.
So then I grab water. And I'm like, oh, I'll do a little dip onto a tissue paper and dab it out, right? Well, I put too much water and didn't realize it. And then all of a sudden I dip and it just all over my pants. So now I have a wet dong. It's good to see you guys here. Trevor,
local celebrity wet dong.
Trevor slowly moving closer to me now. Rob and John are finding this pleasant. Trevor looks troubled by all of this. He's like, well, I'm not booking Steve for my future promotion.
It's a terrible idea.
How's your custom belt coming?
Oh, you want to see a mock-up?
Yes,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I have two options.
Right.
I'll show you the main mock-up, and I'm hoping... shout out to Justin, as we all know. Justin...
Oh, different one. Okay.
Oh, yeah, right. you guys will know. Let me find the Justin I'm talking about, if I can find my files. All right, there's this. And then I'm going to click this. We got to fix this in post as well. Not really. You know this, Justin.
My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man.
Whoops.
He is a metal worker, so he's making a plate. Hopefully. I haven't talked to him.
Really?
He's making the plates. I've got the leather strap. So I have two. I have a backup just in case like it doesn't get done in time. But I mean, the backup's not nearly as awesome. But the one that I have, let me see if I can find the mock-up. It's
I love this.
It's so ridiculous.
I love how you're going just all in with all the ridiculousness.
My main goal with WAC and as a heel persona is I want to become indie wrestling's $1 million man, Ted DiBiase.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
And have the Twitter belt. That's
awesome.
And
the world of indie wrestling, I think more than money, obviously money is important, but one of the big things is to be verified. So it kind of fits. Mm-hmm. Like it's so the potential Twitter verified championship belt is going to kind of look like that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dude. It's beautiful.
Oh, man.
I love all the little birds.
Yeah.
The check.
The blue check mark. Yes. It's got the Twitter birds on the side plates. It's going to have the Twitter blue fabric. I think Rev saw it already.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Speaking of custom belts, Rev, have you seen Daniel Bryan's custom championship belt?
No.
It's 100% organic.
It's made out of
course
wood.
It is.
Wood and hemp.
I have a picture.
It's amazing.
It's wood.
Yes. Wooden face plates and side plates.
Like the last custom belt that I saw was the John Cena with the spinners. Yeah. Which I thought was hilarious. Yeah. A little dumb, but hilarious.
Yeah. So he comes out on, I think it was SmackDown last week.
Yep.
And like throws away the old title in a garbage can. And has Rowan pull out the new one.
As a hippie Greenpeace sort of guy, he didn't recycle the belt.
I know, right?
Rowan's new logo, because he's Daniel Bryan's buddy, the O is the recycling logo.
Yep.
Oh, dear. Jeez.
And then I have another backup possible belt in case things don't work out, and it's going to be that version.
Ooh.
It's a white belt.
Ooh, like
or maybe I'll have two, depending on how I feel.
There you go.
I don't know if I don't like this one better, Steve. That's pretty cool.
But that one, though, is going to be done. It's like one of those stock ones from a trophy company. And it's not as high quality as
what the first one
right,
is?
Which is still kind of funny if it's not high quality, because then it's like even more ridiculous that here I am thinking I'm whatever, and it's a plastic belt. That would be pretty funny.
Dude, Rev, check this out.
Wow.
That's the organic belt.
It's made of wow. That actually looks really nice. I was expecting it to look like crap.
It's got like a blue like jade or something instead of gemstones. Yeah, it looks...
That's actually pretty sweet.
No, dude, legit, I would debate buying one.
I wouldn't buy one. I'd think about buying one.
Right. I don't want any of those championship belts. Because
we all
like
know
$400.
About people who bring their own belts to wrestling shows, Trevor.
Oh.
Hey, I forgot mine today.
Uh-oh.
No, cool thing, though. Trevor has the old Rattlesnake championship.
Oh, okay, that one's
the
sick.
Stone
Cold one.
It's really cool. Yeah. We got it at Raw in Seattle a couple years ago.
That's pretty cool.
And that's really cool.
If I had to buy one championship belt, I think I would go with the old tag team titles back in the WWF days that Demolition had.
Yeah.
Those were pretty sick. Or the Intercontinental Championship.
See, I'm an old school. I'd want Flair's World Championship and paint NWO on it.
Well, they sell them with the painting already on it.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course they do.
Like, pay $500 for a belt that's spray painted.
I think I saw one on eBay for about $350, right?
Oh, my God!
WWE is kind of like the Kiss of wrestling. They're like, if you can sell it, we're going to sell it.
Ooh, could you get WWE coffins?
I'm
sure you could.
I mean, they got the Money in the Bank briefcase, and then they also have a lunchbox size version of it as well.
And if you're going to sell WWE coffins, like, you got an Undertaker brand on them,
yeah,
right?
100%.
I was kidding, and of course.
Of course, but it's still, that's how funny it is, you know?
Right?
I love that somebody jokingly said that they should sell the organic, 100% sustainable, whatever they call it. The sustainable belt, I heard it being called at one point.
It's not bad.
But they should sell it, and they should charge $420 to attempt. And sadly, I think that's a discount compared to some of the other belts.
Didn't AJ at one point, after the belt came out that night, ask Daniel Bryan if he'd been smoking what they made the belt out of?
Yes. And one of my other favorite things was, I can't remember. Oh, when I talked to Samoa Joe on my podcast, the best part was, I was like, well, what if you, when you win that title at the Elimination Chamber, what are you going to do with the belt? Because he's like, I'm going to put some meat on it.
That's right.
Use it to help grill your meat. I love it.
Yeah, fantastic, dude. Oh, man, I love wrestling for this. The absurdity like that.
Yeah.
And honestly, getting to be this heel persona and the local celebrity.
Yeah.
Some of the ideas I have are just so ridiculous, and I run them by some of my buddies that have been wrestling for a while, just to be like, hey, is this too stupid? You've been in the business. You know what we're... And every time I tell somebody, they're like, That is really stupid, but it's freaking great. You should do it, like with the championship belt.
Oh, dude, when you went up on the turnbuckle and I was tweeting, oh my god, that was awesome!
You tweeted from the turnbuckle.
He did.
During my match. I missed the hot tag from Pitfall.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah. For some reason, I was like imagining you on the top rope, like doing a selfie, and I'm like, that's scary.
And you had to ask if your ideas were stupid. You're on a show with the hottest independent wrestler right now, whose gimmick is that he suplexes people with his junk.
Yeah.
And you're asking if a Twitter belt is stupid.
No, I know.
I think you're good.
I think if anyone's going to appreciate my level of absurdity, it will be Joey Ryan.
Oh, absolutely. I love Joey Ryan.
He's a great dude. And big Jimmy Eat World fan. I actually had some chats with him about, like, that's his favorite band.
Huh.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is
neat. I don't know why I needed to share that, but if you ever needed something to talk to Joey Ryan about, bring up the middle.
Was he the one that was on your podcast that was talking Matt Smack about Seattle? Or who was that? You had two guys at the same time. It was a while ago.
Oh, MJF.
Yes.
That's Maxwell Jacob Friedman, who just got signed to All Elite Wrestling. Yeah, he's better than you, and you know it.
And he kept
talking about his Uncle Clay, Clay Bennett.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy is great because you talk to him when the mics are off. Super nice guy. I mean, obviously, most wrestlers are. I think anyone who's ever experienced, especially an independent wrestler, I mean, there's obviously going to be some douches in any walk of life, but it seems for the most part people are really cool. When you put a microphone in front of him, 100% in character, he won't even do interviews out of character.
Good call, man.
He called me like a low-budget Adam Levine.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm like, dude, what
I liked because your cats are just talking smack
like,
about
I'm bald.
Him. That was a great interview. Yeah. He killed it.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He's funny. He was on Stone Cold's, and he stayed in character in Stone Cold's and was insulting the Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he's 22 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's funny. Dedication, but also it's Stone Cold.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun with Joey Ryan and all those guys. Yeah. But yeah, it's my other new dumb idea. I'm having new gear made that's going to be similar to the gear I have, but instead of red, it's going to be Twitter blue.
Nice. So,
black and Twitter blue. And I'm having an arm sleeve. And I tell this to every wrestler, and they're all just like, I freaking love you. Like, they're just like, you have really embraced this local celebrity character. And I was like, absolutely. It's kind of scary. I'm starting to believe I'm a local celebrity now. Not really.
Well.
But so it's going to be the full gear and then one arm sleeve, and it's going to cover most of my arm. It's going to be in that Twitter blue with a white line on it. So that way, when I drop an elbow and flex my arm, it turns into a check mark.
Oh, my God.
And it's the verified elbow.
Wow.
Boom.
Wow.
Done.
Yeah. That works almost too perfectly.
I should find the mock-up. And so I hit up the people that make my gear. Shout out to Classy as F. They spell it out.
Yeah.
They're from Portland or Oregon area, and they're just like the coolest people. I'm like, hey, in addition to making the gear, because I already sent them the money for the gear, I was like, I had this idea. Can you also do this? Let me know what I owe you. And they're like, they just start laughing. Like, we'll do that one for free.
This one's for free.
That's the mock-up.
Jesus, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
yeah. It's a check mark.
It's a check mark.
Yeah, but up until you cross it, it just looks like a blue and white line.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
So you just have to make sure as you're coming out, you're raising your hand up and not doing it every once in a while, I gotta
work out more so I could flex.
There you go.
And then it looks cooler because then it's like I'm flexing, but there's a check mark as well. Otherwise, it just looks like this guy's out of shape, not flexing, which is what I look like most of the time.
You're such a fantastic dork. I love it.
It's so much fun, man.
Like, right? Yeah.
If you're not having fun, why are you doing it?
Right.
And
exactly.
And that's what all like. It's like guys have been doing it for years. Every time I ask them for any advice, because Arian brought it up as well in the Migs podcast I did with him, he's like, "Have fun, man. You got to have fun doing this stuff. Don't get worked up about these moments that are." You know, going to drag you down because sometimes I get down on a match. And like remember I told you I was down on the Battle Rumble?
Yeah.
And I talked to some people that were in it and they're like, you did a great job for being so new. Like Tony Baroni, who's a trainer in Vancouver. And he's like, man, for being green, I've seen people look greener, which is a compliment.
Totally.
He's like, you did a really good job. I'm like, dude. Well, this is what was going on in my world, and you saved my ass because you came over and just said, hit me. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I needed something to do. And I was like, kind of standing there. And he's like, oh, dude, this happens to everyone, blah, blah, blah. But it's like things that I was obsessing over being bummed about, you realize it's just in your head.
And that's one of those things I didn't even realize when thinking about it. Just like when you said right there, being in a Rumble situation, there might be a spot where you're looking around and everybody's engaged.
Yeah.
And then you've got to figure out some sort of way to improvise and throw it out there.
Right.
And for a new guy, that can be terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, that's so weird. Remember, I was just wondering if Justin was still working on the plate.
Yeah.
He just messaged me with the images that he's working on. He says it's coming along.
Oh.
It's like just something in the air. Like he heard us, but he couldn't.
Right?
Oh, man. And it's looking.
See, he heard us talking
just tell
about
every time
his,
you play that clip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow, that is pretty cool. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, man.
Oh, sweet, brother. Yay. I want to give a.
Did you text that?
I should, right?
Yeah. Yes, you
sweet,
should.
Brother. Yay.
But I want to give a shout out to Courtney. She listens to the Mixcast and she works in the world of therapy, and I thought it was really cool. She sent us a message on my Instagram, and I have to write her back. I suck at that. But it says, I got to tell you guys, I was listening to the most recent podcast while I'm working at home, and once again, it was great. The way you guys bring up mental health stuff like depression, self-esteem, etc., is super relatable, and I think you guys will reach people that you wouldn't usually be open to hearing that message. So good job, and thanks for doing that, which meant a lot. Because I know she does a lot of stuff in that world, and to hear and from anybody, it doesn't matter what you do in a world, what you do for a living, to know that like our stupidity and our you know, having some humor at the fact that sometimes you're battling stuff in your head makes it easier for someone else to cope with. I think that's good.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. I mean, even like I was talking about, I think during that episode sort of thing, it's like you can't, like, we try to be as real as possible, because a lot of the times you'll just get a snapshot, whether it's social media or podcasts, where, oh, everything is great, everything is fun, everything is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like everyone else out there.
Battling
we're just people.
Yep.
And there's stuff that we're trying to get through every single day.
100%. Yeah, 100%. And so it's nice to hear that, you know, our stupidity can make somebody feel better about themselves.
And I can tell, too, like, sometimes, Steve, you'll come in, like, heated, your confrontation, Steve, you got a story.
Yeah.
And by the time you're done telling the story, you're laughing.
Yeah.
Because you get it out in here, you talk it out with your guys, and then you're just like, it's over, I'm done, now it's a funny story.
So many times that this has been therapy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
for us, it's just getting it out. And that's a lot of the times, it's just saying it out loud. You don't bottle it up. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, I used to bottle up a lot of stuff, and it would turn
right?
And it would turn into... I would turn into a rage beast. And why? Well, and it would just usually come out during, like, playing video games. And so now I've actually been a lot better at that sort of thing.
Yeah, dude, I'm saying, like, even sometimes typing it out. Like, sometimes if you didn't get, like, I was dealing with something, I was talking with one of my buddies, and I just kind of, not unloaded, but shared some of the things I was dealing with, nothing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, dude, that makes sense why you would feel that way. I'm like, man, I feel better just saying, like, letting that leave my body and just getting it out into the into the universe in a weird way.
Yeah.
The WWE universe, that is, brother.
Ooh, brother. Oh,
sorry.
Well, if you think about it, in like recovery and treatment and stuff, they have you journal stuff.
Yeah.
Therapists and psychologists have their patients journal stuff when they're starting to feel like that. And being a average Joe that I am, I don't know how many times over the years I've listened to you guys and been like, God, they're going through the same crap that I've gone through.
Right.
And, you know, it really does help that someone that you look up to goes through the same stuff that you do. And it is. It's therapeutic.
A good exercise that my wife does is, and it was an interesting thing, she'll write something down in a journal type thing, but then she'll take those papers and then she'll burn them. And it's one of those things letting it go. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was like, wow, that it's because you're getting it out. And, you know, maybe it's something that you don't want everyone to see. And it's something that you just need to work through internally. But that it's liberating to let that stuff go.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's all you just need to do.
And if it comes back, that means it's a problem.
Or it was meant to be.
Or some weird horror film that your burnt note just got reassembled.
Oh, creepy.
Unleashed the demon.
It's like the Depression David Blaine experiment.
And you want to burn them just so you don't stumble on them in like 5 years and read it and go,
what was I thinking?
Or or somebody else finds it and you're like, I've done that.
I've done that where I've kept like a Word file on my phone. I would just sometimes type, like, even sometimes like a couple sentences was going on in my head that day or whatever. And I recently forgot I did that. And I went back to one. I'm like, bro, you need a hug. And I'm like, it's me. I'm like, wow.
That's me.
Like, what the hell? It's crazy how with time, sometimes you just forget just how ridiculous something was.
Yeah.
Kiss concert was great. My brother came. That was awesome.
I saw the pictures and we heard a little bit.
I know
of
you played the video. That was really sweet of you, Rev.
You sang really well.
It was like my brother was like having a moment and he pulled the phone out and he's like pointing and I'm like, I'm not going to act like I'm too cool to sing with my brother.
Right.
And I know the words. I want to rock and roll all night and party every day. So now we're just jamming. And luckily, he only kept it on for like 5 seconds. Because at first, I was like, bro, are we doing this for the whole chorus? Because I'm effed. But it was funny. And it was funny because I was talking with John before we started the podcast. He's like, hey, nice work handling that guy on your Facebook page.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. The Debbie Downer.
Yes.
Bro, it's so funny how like sometimes you forget that like people are going to read that other than the people that you're having that moment with. So I post a picture, and it just says, Kiss.
Kiss.
Because that's what happened. I went and saw Kiss. And I was excited. And my buddy, and I mean
Steve narrates his life.
Right. Kiss.
Kiss. Kiss. I know, I'm the worst social media guy. Like, I put no effort into anything. It's just like, even that Sunships video, not a big deal. 10 million views now.
Congratulations.
What the F? All I wrote was, all I wanted was Sunships, and it's blown up into this ridiculous... Like, I didn't even do any good job of socially networking it.
But you're verified. That's what matters.
Ooh.
I am verified on Facebook as well.
There you go.
I don't bring that up often, but
you're like a dual
true.
Champion.
Yeah.
You need two belts.
No, I just need to get the triple threat. I need to be verified on Instagram.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens or how it will or won't, and I haven't gotten any effort to try and make it happen. But it's always funny when people are like, hey, how'd you get verified? I'm like, I don't know. My work probably did it.
Yeah,
I did absolutely no work to do it. My podcast page has a verification check mark. It's really not anything special, but for some people it is.
Yeah, right.
So my buddy, and I mean it very like, I mean, this guy is legit a buddy. It's not someone I didn't know that I'm a friend of a friend of a friend with. So I know this person and I know he's a good dude. He would get the shirt off your back. So I didn't want to get into an argument with him, but I was there with my brother, living in the moment, rocking out the Kiss. The show just ends and I look at my Facebook feed for the picture that I posted and it says, bro, they suck. I walked out on them a couple years ago at White River. I couldn't let this incarnation of them ruin my memories of them when they really kicked ass. And I'm like, oh, come on, man.
So as someone who's not a huge Kiss, like I like Kiss, but what's this incarnation? What's different?
So the original members were, of course, you got Ace Frehley, right. Paul Stanley, and then you had Peter Criss and
Gene.
And Gene.
Right.
So Peter Criss and Ace Frehley haven't really been in the band forever. They came back for a minute but for the big reunion tour in 96. They tried to give it a go. But egos and alcohol seem to be a problem. So over the years, Kiss has had a couple of different drummers. Eric Carr, who's no longer with us. He was the Fox back in the Creatures of the Night.
Remember that?
Oh. Right.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
drummer. One of my favorites. He sadly died. I think he lost a battle to cancer. Eric Singer's been with the band probably longer than any drummer. But, you know, obviously people think of them as being Kiss with Peter Criss. And I understand that.
Right.
And Ace Frehley, they've gone through so many guitarists from Vinnie Vincent to... Oh my God.
Vinnie Vincent
was with them. Yeah,
Vinnie Vincent was. Bruce Kulick.
Wait, Vincent?
Vincent. But the most recent guy.
Why he goes by Vinnie.
The recent guy is Tommy Thayer, and he's been with them forever. But so some people don't like him. It seems not so much. People don't get mad that Peter's no longer in the band, but people do get mad that Ace isn't in the band because Ace truly is an incredible guitarist. Oh.
But if it's his choice to leave, well, who cares?
Well, I think he got kicked out. So
if it's the rest of the band's choice that he leaves, who cares?
Well, if you think about it, back in the day of their solo albums, Ace has sold the most.
It was the best
one.
That
was one. A great album.
Ace, then Paul Stanley, I would say, is the second better one. But yeah, so I'm having the time of my life at the show because I'm with my brother. They sound great. The experience is awesome. I'm seeing 6-year-olds with face paint on to really, really hot chicks with face paint on. I mean, covered into 7-year-olds with face paint on. It was just a cool experience to see that Kiss appeal to every generation, including kids. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So I see this. I'm like, I'm in no mood for this kind of bull crap. So all I wrote was, cool, man. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you cool story bro'd him.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he did. He totally did.
I was like, I wanted to be like, oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't notice on my post that just said Kiss where it said share your opinions here, but cool. So anyway, he responded with, do you like this version of them? I'm sure you saw them in their prime, right? Gene Simmons is not a singer, not trying to be a buzzkill, but damn, this is not Kiss. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. I saw them in 96. I don't know if that's their prime. I never saw them back when they were really firing.
It was
your prime,
though, so.
Right. That was college for me. So I'm like, oh, whatever. And of course, my buddy Brad, he writes, Mr. Not trying to be a buzzkill. Jesus, man. Another person. And then he writes back to that guy, WTF. They're supposed to be the baddest band. They suck without Ace.
Oh,
my buddy puts a South Park gif on
the little douchey.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's a douche. Oh, nice to see that you figured it out.
Funny. I had no idea what it was, except for a weird dancing popsicle stick. I don't know.
Dancing douche.
It's a dancing douche. That's freaking hilarious. So then this is where I got annoyed. So then he responds to my other buddy, you have no history with the band. Go F yourself. I've been going into since the 70s, Dress to Kill Tour, which I'm very jealous he saw them during the Dress to Kill tour. That's like I was talking to one of my
coolest
other buddies.
Album cover ever.
I would put that at number one.
Yeah.
Love Gun's very close.
Yes.
And I love the Dynasty album cover. It's basic. It's just their four faces with the silver border. I know people hate Dynasty, but I love the Dynasty record. So finally, I was like, I got to chime in. I'm like, dude, I love you, but take your negativity elsewhere. Kiss just put on a killer show. Have a good night. And I'm figuring, argument over.
That should end it, yeah.
And he says, my apologies, right? Which I appreciate. And honestly, that's where his comment should have stopped. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I'm the outsider. I'd rather travel 1,700 miles to watch Bruiser Brody than this derivation.
It's like supposed to be like derivative, but derivation.
It's spelled derivation.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I'll accept it.
Would that be the derivative version?
The river of the sea.
Something like that.
So he says, I'd rather watch Bruiser Brody than see this band I used to idolize, which I appreciate that he likes my band. But dude, just let it go. You're still taking shots at the band. Let's just let it go. And everybody else was like, dude, awesome.
Well, if they can still do it like they've done it, from what you said, they put on a great show after how many years of doing it?
Yeah. Good on that. They're 70.
Right?
And they're not going to be as good as the 70s version of Kiss.
They're 70?
Close to it.
Oh,
damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Right around.
And they're still rocking with the pyro and all the ridiculousness.
Spin the blood. Although, I almost feel like he's got to stop with the blood because, they got the camera so you can see Gene up close. From distance, it looks awesome. But when you see the camera up close, he's got like just spit and blood all over his chest plate. It's disgusting. I mean, you're 70. It's not rock and roll at that point. It just looks like you probably pooped your pants too.
I have to ask though, did they play God Gave Rock and Roll to you?
They played a recording of it after they were done. So they did Rock and Roll All Night, goodbye, thank you everybody, and then God Gave Rock and Roll was playing on the loudspeaker, which was kind of cool. But they played a lot. Like they played I Was Made for Loving You, which was cool. They did Lick It Up, which I thought was awesome. They never do. I never seen them do anything that wasn't from that was from any of the recordings where they didn't wear makeup. So to hear Lick It Up was pretty awesome. And it broke down into like a weird jam for a second, and then they busted into a Who cover. The CSI song was that Barbara O'Reilly?
Won't Get Fooled Again.
Won't Get Fooled Again. They just did the part that goes, and then they went right back into Lick It Up.
That's still cool.
It was awesome. Yeah. Lasers were going. It was like somebody joked, like, man, I would have liked the show better if they need to step it up on the production, the pyro, the lights. And at first, I was like already kind of on edge. So I saw that tweet. I'm like, you mother effer. And then on the end, you see all these crazy emojis. I'm like, oh, there's sarcasm. Okay, I'm cool with you then. Because, yeah, it was a great show. It was awesome seeing everybody there. And I had a great time. But, yeah, that message, I was like, man, don't rain on my parade.
And that's that one thing that people don't even realize. He was probably just like, oh, this is just a flippant comment, whatever. It's like stuff like that will absolutely 100% take the wind out of someone's sails. It'll deflate their balloon. And it'll ruin their day.
It just annoyed me.
Yeah.
I was just like, I had a great night with my brother, and here you are trying to tell me what made a great night for us sucks? Go F yourself.
Exactly.
Or love you, bro.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks for sharing.
If someone says, like, cool story, stop.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to hear your ass.
Yep, you know what? Exactly. If you have something negative to say on somebody who posted something with obvious excitement, if like they posted something like, I'm mad because of this, then sure, you get involved with it. But if someone posts something out of pure excitement, how about just let them be excited about it?
Right.
Now, we're supposed to have Levi.
See, Levi's here, but his other buddy's not.
Okay, because I haven't gotten a text yet, so okay.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, so Levi's here.
Yeah.
But his other buddy's not.
Yeah.
And, all right. Well,
so you just want to have him come in and hang out?
Yeah, that's fine. They could send him back or have someone, do whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I do want to talk while feel free to figure it out however you want, Rev. I'm down with whatever.
Yeah.
We'll edit this out later.
I'm sure.
Yeah, because we got to be done right around noon. If that's cool.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Awesome.
We're just going to go grab lunch and then head up to the arena.
Nice. That's right.
We're going to Tony V's.
Shout out to Tony V's, the official party
sponsor
of WAC.
Of WAC, which is always cool because a lot of the wrestlers go there. You guys come hang out. And you just forget that it's no longer wrestler fan. It's just all of us hanging out that are
fans.
Are fans of wrestling. It's a cool dynamic that happens there. But what else I wanted to talk about before they popped in? Oh,
No.
Our dude here, John, I wanted to bring up because you recently lost a bet. I was just looking at your hat.
Oh, man.
Oh, really?
You really bringing that up? All
yes.
right.
Yes, I am. Because okay, I'm the local celebrity. You got to have reasons to hate me.
Oh, man.
Tell us about the bet that just happened.
Okay, so obviously in Podland, you don't know this. I'm a very hardcore Steelers fan.
Yeah, he's wearing a Steelers cap Steelers right now.
I actually have a Steelers
Holy
tattoo,
smokes.
Half sleeve tattoo.
Wow. Yeah,
that's a big ass
so
tattoo.
I'm a big fan. So I have this really good friend, shout out to Johnny, that we've been making the same bet every year on who'll go further in the playoffs between Pittsburgh and Seattle.
Yes.
And I lost this year, so the loser has to wear the winner's gear for a work week.
And so I've just recently met John. I mean, we've gotten to know each other through WAC, but it's only been a couple months. But I already knew that you were a Steelers fan. Yeah. And so I see him post this picture of him rocking Seahawks gear. And I'm just like, it was one of those things where I'm scrolling on Facebook. And I was like, wait, hold on a second.
Why is John wearing Seahawks gear?
And then I'm like, you look like you're constipated in these pictures because obviously you're not very comfortable wearing
Not happy.
And then how long did you have to wear it for? A week?
5 days.
Yeah, so I made it a point to check his page all 5 days.
Each one.
Yeah.
I'm somebody if the local celebrity's checking my Facebook every day. I got to like
you
that.
You made it, buddy.
I'm creeping on you.
That's awesome. But yeah, so, and it's so funny because all my Seahawks friends are just being brutal the whole week.
Of course.
I read some of the comments I was getting.
Yeah.
Oh, John, you never look better, blah, blah, blah.
I agree with them.
And I'm glad you do, but
brings
whatever.
It your eyes. It looks like, yeah, I mean, just, I'm so much more handsome when you're wearing that color.
Oh. Yeah.
That gold doesn't work.
Well, I have to bring this up. You were wearing a Seahawks Christmas hat on the Royal Rumble day. Remember?
He was?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun!
That's not the same. I was wearing his stepdad had a, and we were at his house during the Royal Rumble party.
Okay.
And his stepdad had a Seahawks Santa hat.
Oh, nice.
I actually have two Steelers Santa hats. I'm going to throw that out there right now. But so I put it on saying, here's something you'll never see. You idiots weren't smart enough to take pictures of it. So it never happened.
You guys were good friends.
Yeah, we are. You are good friends. I got to give you love for that. But yeah, it was an interesting bet. I mean, hopefully some of my friends that
it's like a harmless bet, but in a weird way, it's probably I would not ever agree to do a bet where I'm wearing the opposing team's jersey. Like it's something awkward about wearing
fun,
it. Yeah.
But it's a step down from, let's say, a tattoo bet.
Yes.
Ooh, God.
I would rather
do this bet
I'm doing every day as opposed to
the rest
having
of your
to
life.
Put a Seahawk logo on my butt cheek or something, you know? Not happening.
Passing on that.
If I got to wear Seahawk gear, you know? And so what I did is I hit the Goodwill a couple of times, Value Village, found some stuff on sale, and bought stuff, and it goes...
Oh, so that was part of the deal. You had to supply yourself the Seahawks gear.
The problem is, obviously, you guys see this. I'm a big guy.
Yeah. He's about 120 pounds, 4 foot
soaking wet. Cruiserweight, 205, baby.
Soaking wet.
So... he is not a big guy, so there's no way I can wear his stuff. Like we've done this 4 years, we're each two for two.
Okay.
So he's had to do this twice as well.
So do you hold on to the gear for?
I am going to hold on to the gear.
Yeah, I would.
I actually
see how they're looking good for next year.
I gave one of the beanies to Trevor because it's just whatever.
Yeah.
But so he had to wear them. I have a away Cordell Stewart jersey that a friend got me right about the time that he joined the Steelers again, long enough to retire his number. He was a quarterback back in the early 90s, I believe, with Pittsburgh. And so Johnny wearing this jersey is like he's wearing a muumuu, dude.
That's funny.
It's epic. And
big guy.
It's like a dress
skinny
at that point.
Skinny guy and a fat guy's coat.
Well, this is awesome having you guys here. I'm sure in a couple minutes we're going to chat with Levi and the crew. But before we wrap up this part, and you guys can hang out. No rush. I'm not trying to get you out of here, but I just want to favorite experience with a wrestler or a wrestling experience so far, like whether it be on the indie level, whether it be on the WWE level, someone that you met or something that has happened with you guys, what would you put at the top of your list since we're getting ready for a SmackDown?
Oh,
Trevor.
Undertaker.
You met the Undertaker?
Yeah. I met him in an airport.
Okay. And what was that like?
Wait, the Undertaker flies?
Yeah, so I was just sitting there with my brother. I was visiting my brother in Texas when he was in basic training. Okay. So we're just coming back home. I'm like, I was sick too. I'm like, just like dozing off. And I'm like, is that the Undertaker? And my brother's like, yeah, I think it is. Then my mom's, I'm like, mom's like,
did he have
we need
giant?
To go chase him down and get a picture with him. I'm uh-huh. like, I don't want to bother him.
Right.
What era Undertaker
like,
was it?
She just grabbed me and, what airport?
What era?
Era.
Was like, it the Deadman?
Dead Man Walking?
So it was like right American before Badass. WrestleMania when he faced Batista.
Okay. Was that not here? Okay, I'm trying to think of which one that was.
I can't remember.
So it was regular. He was regular Undertaker.
That was still just long-haired, black, all in black Undertaker.
So I was like, Mama was like, can he take a picture with you? He's like, yeah.
That'd be great if he rolled his
like
eyes like the Undertaker.
He was eating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't bug the man when he's eating.
Wow.
On, Trevor's mom.
But then I was like, I hope you beat the Batista.
You beat the Batista.
Beat the Batista.
It's weird seeing him now on social media. So they're like Undertaker's got Instagram, and every once in a while he like posts something, and he's like in like a tucked in golf shirt.
Oh man!
He just looks like your grandpa or your dad. You know, like I get why he never did anything to try and take away from that persona being the Undertaker. Like, I just recently, of all things, watched an interview with him. It's a great interview, but he's being interviewed by a pastor. At a church.
Yeah, that I saw that interview.
It's a great interview.
Yeah.
But it's weird as F that here's The Undertaker, who's a church-going man, who fell in love with God because of his wife. You're learning all this stuff about The Undertaker, and he's still the freaking Undertaker.
He's like a demon.
Dude. It's not like there's any precedence in the Bible for dead men coming back to life.
Solid point. What about you there, John?
I would switch to being a Hare Krishna for his wife. His wife's really
Michelle
hot.
McCool?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But so favorite
and very
wrestlers.
Understanding when she first met him, and he had a giant tattoo that said his ex-wife's name, Sarah.
Yeah.
Right? He got that lasered off.
Oh, it's covered
off.
Now.
And it
yeah,
still showed up, though.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Like, now you look like you just forgot you put suntan lotion over and spelled out Sarah.
So now, for favorite wrestling experience, it's not like the best because it pissed me off, but I when I went to a local wrestling thing,
okay,
and it was at a high school,
okay,
and Playboy Buddy Rose. Do you guys remember?
Yeah,
who
old
school wrestler,
super old
so
school.
The way I got into wrestling is I used to watch it with my deceased grandfather back when I was a little kid, and I'm older than you guys, so
not that he's deceased, but it's cool that you.
No, yeah, okay. I get that. Thank you.
I'm not I'm not that much of a heel.
Wow. But so that was his favorite wrestler. He loved sitting there watching big time wrestling, cracking on him. I hate that SOB. Blah blah blah. You know. So I see this guy at this show, and I walk over, and I go to shake his hand, and you'll get this. And he looks at me and goes, yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to talk to you. Even though I told him how important he had been to me growing up because of my grandfather. So he was doing what you guys all know is kayfabe.
Yeah.
So he totally didn't. And what did I do? I booed that SOB the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's what he wanted. He did that so we would all boo him out. So
damn. All right. How about you there, Rob?
I've never met any like real big name wrestlers, so I guess it's just like going to the local shows and just meeting guys and realizing like they're just dudes like us who are following their dream. Like it's something they wanted to do since they were kids, same way I did. They just actually went and did it.
Yep.
Instead of, you know, getting a real job or whatever.
I always love when like a wrestler gets snobby towards fans because I'm like, at some point, unless you're a very rare instance in a rare breed, at some point you were just as big of a fan of wrestling. and were this, and that's why it always bugs me when you hear some people like they almost are like insulting towards fans.
Mm-hmm.
So like, dude, you were a fan too. In order for you to love wrestling, to want to go and train and go through all this, at some point you were an obsessive fan.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So remember that. You know, I mean, that should never go unnoticed when you meet a fan or meet somebody that's excited to meet you because we were all in that, and then it's like that in any other profession, but I feel like more so wrestling than anything else because at some point we were all made fun of for being wrestling fans.
Yes. Absolutely.
So you should
I still get made fun of.
As do I. That's all right. You embrace it. Now I'm like, I like watching oiled up men with wet hair wearing next to nothing grapple.
Itty bitty shorts.
The worst is trunks. You know it's fake, right?
Oh, yeah, trunks.
Oh, God.
Dude, that's somebody that's more in Texas. We were talking about wrestling, and they're like, the reason why Like, I was like making fun of BJ's hobby. He's like, well, BJ's stuff is cooler because yours is fake. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that sci-fi and Magic the Gathering are real.
Yeah, BJ is actually going through space with all of his friends on the Enterprise when it happens. Shut up!
My favorite is also, like, I remember at a family gathering when they found out I was wrestling, one of the guys in my wife's family is like, you know it's fake, right? I'm like, yeah. I don't understand how you could like something that's fake. And my response was, do you like The Walking Dead? He goes, yeah, love it. You know that there aren't real zombies. And I could tell, like, he had nothing.
Different.
Yeah, he was just like, everyone else laughed.
Yeah.
And I think now he hates me. Because I made him look stupid.
Well, you know, I mean,
but like, hey, man,
don't make it so easy, right?
Well, I'm like, hey, dude, if you're going to crap on me for liking fake entertainment, every movie that, like, that's what I always tell people when they're like, why do you like wrestling? It's not a real sport. And I'm like, I don't view it as a sport. I mean, it's athletic. Don't get me wrong.
Theater.
I view it, and I don't even like saying, but you're right, it's theater. I view it as like, it's a really cool fight scene in an action movie.
Yeah.
There you go.
Are we all fans of that? Because last I checked, most dudes are. And yeah, I mean, yeah, there's some hokey stuff and there's stuff that I could live without, no different than a movie or a television show. But the minute you stop worrying about wrestling being this actual competition like a football game or a baseball game and view it more like a theater or a really great action scene or a film and there's a story and there's all this cool crap going on, that's why I'm a fan of it. That, to me, is what makes wrestling great.
And you get to see
it
happen directly in front of you.
One take.
With no cuts.
Yep. Yeah.
Two guys or more, depending on the match, going out there and just giving it everything they got to entertain you.
And to me, that's what makes wrestling awesome. And that's, exactly. I mean, you can make fun of it all you want. I don't like a lot of things. I don't like The Walking Dead, and I can make fun of it all I want.
Yeah, you sure
I don't like Game of Thrones. I'll make fun of it. But I also recognize that it's something cool and special about it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And everyone, we don't have to go on a tangent, but thank you guys for doing this impromptu chat and filling in for Glenn.
It takes three of us to fill in for him.
We're going
to
bring I know, right? And thank you for your rub.
No problem.
Excuse me?
Barbecue stuff.
It's for your meat.
We got a meat rub going on.
Right.
Did you smell it?
That smells nice.
No, I haven't smelled it.
Don't snort it. Oh, I love that.
Oh, that does smell good.
It'd be like
it'll go real good with your tofu, bro.
Yeah, I can't wait to put this on tofu. He's like, Rob's going to be like, I'll take that.
I'll give that to someone who cares.
Right, someone who loves meat.
Give that to Samoa Joe.
I could. I'll throw it at him tonight. No one's going to frown upon that.
Yeah.
Instead of Joe! Catch!
Have my friend Rob's rub. Instead of green mist, just...
Oh, yeah, right?
Oh.
All right, let's bring in Levi and the crew, and we'll chat about what's going on in the world of Levi Lion.
Whenever you are ready, man.
Right on. Levi, what's up, my friend?
What's up?
Uh-oh, hold on.
Microphone broke.
Punch it. I think we're good.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
John and Tyler, this is a brand new studio, and here I am treating it like it's my...
Punch it.
Like a studio from the 70s. Like, just hold on. I'll hit it a couple of times. It'll work. Levi, it's good to see you, my friend.
Yeah. And happy to be here.
Brought a couple buddies.
I did, yeah. Tyler from The Dope Show.
Tyler Smith.
And John is your manager down at the mill in Milton.
Awesome.
Cheers, guys.
Good to see you. Tyler, so the first time I saw you... Tyler has, in my opinion, the most incredible comedy night, the most brilliant comedy night I've ever been a part of. I'm not even going to try and explain it because I went to go see the Ted Smith, who was a part of it one night. I did stand up, and I brought a bunch of my buddies. Like there was we were rolling with like five or six of us.
Nice.
That came out to show support for Ted, but fell in love with the night just in general. Like, oh yeah, we're here for Ted. But then I'm like, this is the most brilliant, ingenious thing I've ever seen. So Tyler,
thank you. Yeah.
Tell us about the Dope Show.
The Dope Show. It's a stand-up comedy showcase. Goes on. All over now, but pretty much the premise is comedians perform a set, then they go outside and they smoke a bunch of weed and get real high.
I've talked with some people who have seen this, and the second set sometimes is just like just goes off the rails. It's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, it gets pretty crazy. We were we just did it last. Just finish what I was saying. Then they come back and perform another set.
Yeah. But, completely stoned. So they're sober for the first set, stoned for the second.
Exactly.
Set.
Exactly. A little compare and contrast. But we did the show last week in Spokane, and one of the joints that we had from one of our sponsors was dipped in oil. And the guy, it was his like third time smoking weed, and he had a panic attack, and he just went home.
He didn't even do the set?
He didn't even do it.
Oh, I was like, did he get up on stage? No, he just didn't even make it
is
there.
Is that a first?
That is actually a second.
Okay. The time I went, there was a guy who said, I think he hadn't smoked in forever. It was maybe one of his first times. And I could, I honestly think he was trying to push the wall down. He was like, he was firmly pressed against the wall out of fear. And he got through, and it was actually really funny. Like, I thought his stone set was funnier than his sober set, but I'm not going to tell the guy that because I don't want him to create a problem, right? And there was also a lady that did it, and she couldn't stop giggling the entire time. It was infectious. It was just, you don't even have to be stoned to enjoy watching what's going on. And I wasn't. I was just in tears the entire time.
I'm like, I was quietly freaking out when that guy left last week, but
pretty funny.
I told the audience, I'm like, he's gone. He's not coming back. I'm sorry.
we wrecked him.
We have a disclosure at the beginning of the show that there's no guarantees in that second half. So.
Well, it's cool. At least the one I saw, I don't know if this is a typical model that you do, is that they come up, they do their stuff, and then you pop up as they're all going to get stoned.
Exactly.
And your set was killer. It was so much fun watching you do your thing. And I'm like, this is hilarious. He's biding time for them to get high.
Yeah.
And just making it fun for the audience. It's a really cool setup.
The MJMC.
So yes. What made you come up with that idea?
Well, the idea has been around for a long time.
Oh, okay.
We just haven't been able to publicize it.
Right?
It wasn't so much promoted until now.
The comics are going to leave for a break.
Right.
Safety meeting.
The first time I ever saw this show happen was like 2009, and that's how Doug Benson recorded his album.
Yes, right? Smug Life. I was there for that one.
Right? I was there too.
He did two shows. Yeah, it was the first show was completely sober, and I think I was at that one.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then he smoked a whole bunch for the next show. And
genius.
It went as about as well as you would imagine Doug Benson doing comedy that stoned.
But he was doing that so he could sell extra tickets to the second show. It was like a real brilliant idea that like a lot of people didn't see the insights on it.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. So
and if you go to the first show,
they just buy tickets to the late show.
Like, I want
to
see what this is going to be like.
Exactly. So the idea's been around.
Yeah, right.
For a stoner, that guy's a smart dude.
He's a very smart guy.
Genius. I mean, yeah. That's awesome, man. So anything coming up with the Dope Show?
Yeah, that's why Levi brought me here. We got a few more shows coming up. I actually got a pretty big tour coming up in April, and a lot of big shows coming up. So now that Canada's legalized, we're just doing a Canadian tour.
Nice. By chance, are you on tour on April 11th, 12th, or 13th? Because I'll be there playing with Steel Panther in Vancouver. So it'd be funny if there was like a little cross promotion.
It's like April 14th, 15th.
Son of a bitch. We'll make it warm for you.
Perfect. We'll follow you guys' tracks. But Levi brought me on here because we're putting the Dope Show down at the J&M Cafe down here in Seattle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nice.
Yep. We haven't had a Seattle venue for a minute. We were doing this Dope Show up in Greenwood at the Naked City Brewery, but then it got shut down. It closed down. They closed their doors. Yeah. But that was a great venue, so we're excited.
April's just kind of the 420 month, right? You know, it's like it's a holiday month, really.
Yep. Really is.
It's a stoner's holiday month.
I mean, it's insane. I know for me, just with that the Steel Panther thing, and then, of course, we've got our Hockey Classic, which is the weekend of April 20th. Levi, are you going to make it out this time?
Yeah, I'm not going to miss it this time. I missed the last couple years.
I know. The Lion Pride Party Bus all the way to Spokane.
Oh, my gosh.
It's always just...
that bus out to Spokane?
We take the bus for a hockey tournament. We take it out for a hockey tournament. So my team, and Ted is our coach, quote unquote. We go down and we have a game typically at like 6 at night on Friday night, and we all get in the bus at around 9 o'clock in the morning. And it takes a while to get there because there's like 12 of us, you know, and it's just sometimes you have to take breaks.
Pee break.
Right. So by the time we get there, nobody is sober. Everybody is blacked out. And then we have to go put on our hockey gear and play a game. And it's kind of like the Dope Show for hockey.
Right. Yeah. But they don't get to see them compare.
There's no before.
Yeah. When Steve hits the ice, it's already over.
Oh, I can't see straight. And the best part is like last year we won our first game, which infuriated the team we played because they were sober.
Oh no.
Like we even saw them before and I'm like, hey man, you want some of my water, which is Fireball, and it's not real water. And my water bottle. Right. And he's like, no man, we're not gonna drink until after the game. And I'm like, and then we go out there and beat them in a shootout.
Yeah,
that's right. So went to overtime, went to a shootout, and I was the one that, like, I'm the goalie, so the guy that they saw was not seeing straight was the guy who ended their game the rest of the night. We saw those guys. They just glared at us like, you mother effers. We should have got drunk. It probably would have been better. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Last time I saw you, Levi, was at the J&M.
Yeah. Yeah. The J&M was a pretty rocking night. Was that New Year's-ish?
I don't remember. It was
over the holidays.
It was before Christmas because Ted and I had our annual slumber party.
Right.
And
all kind of a blur.
And so I go to Ted's house and don't drive home. So it's like, all bets are off for both of us. And we end up running into Levi. We go to J&M. And then we ended up at some random person's office.
Oh, 39th floor party. Oh, yeah.
That was good.
To a building. I do remember that.
I don't even know what building this was. But Levi goes, hey, man, we're going to leave. Do you want to come to this private party with all these like big wigs in the pot industry? And we're like, sure.
All right.
You can't see straight. We get there. We're thinking, okay, we're going to walk in and like Diplo is playing or something like that. Like some kind of crazy party is happening. We walk in. They're just celebrating, and not just, but like they're celebrating like some big deal that just happened. And they're eating, I think, like teriyaki. Yeah. It wasn't even a party. We just like crashed their dinner. And we're all like, wait a minute, what's up? And they're like, things are good. Would you like some chicken teriyaki?
they were troopers about it.
They were great.
They invited us up. I was like, we're coming in on a party bus.
They showed us they had a podcast studio at their studio is nicer than ours. They don't have to tap on a microphone to get it to work.
You mean punch?
Right. They have, and in their podcast studio, they just had this giant, like, I don't even know what the hell it was. Like, what are those, like, when you go to a hotel and those water dispensers, like the cucumber water, like those pitchers.
Uh-huh.
But in it, it's not water or anything. It's just nugs of weed filled. And I'm like, this is the greatest podcast studio I've ever seen. And then the guy's like, oh, yeah, this is a certain type of this, that, and the other thing. And he's explaining all sorts. I'm like, dude, you're talking. We don't understand words right now. I couldn't pinpoint where that building was, though. I know it had a great view of the water.
Yeah, I don't know either. GPS. We jeepist our way there and jeepist our way back to the J&M.
That's the best.
That was a good night. That was a good time. Thanks for inviting us. Yeah. Or thanks for letting us crash your party. Yeah, yeah. So, John, what's going on in your world, man?
Oh, you know, just working a lot, running the mill in Milton. It's a year and a half old now, private owners. We've been doing a lot of cool music up there. We're locally sourced, scratch-made restaurant.
Nice.
We try to use all locally sustained farms.
Oh, no way.
Isn't that known? Yeah.
The mill in Milton?
Yes.
That's near us.
Nice. Yeah.
Right? That's South
Hill. Yeah. That's right.
I know geography.
Yeah. North Hill.
It's not South Hill, but it's
North Hill.
It's North Hill.
It's North Hill.
I grew up on South Hill, so.
You guys heard the conversation this morning.
Yeah.
So this morning, for those that didn't hear BJ Migs, I jokingly threw out there, I'm like, I just want to have my face on that big video billboard at the South Hill Mall right by the Applebee's and by Dick's and all that. So a guy that runs the South Hill Mall is a listener.
This is a guy who I've known for a while now.
Okay.
And it's just amazing all of the things he has his fingers in. Because
I think he's a comic as well.
He's a comic book artist. He drew my...
Justin Hunt.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he drew a couple of pieces of art that I've been able to have. He was on BJJ's Geek Nation. He's done stuff with local conventions around here.
Yeah.
And then he sends that message... Like, he is part of the team who's actually able to put your face on a billboard.
Right, so they're going to put my face with, it says, South Hill Mall loves Steve Migs. Happy Valentine's Day. I can show you the picture of it. Like, he sent me already, like, he already worked up the mock-up and had it approved by the marketing department. And so we talk about that on the air. It's like, this is actually going to happen. It's happening on Thursday and Friday this week. My face is going to be on this giant billboard.
Yes. Oh, that's so cool.
And I was just like, everyone needs to get a selfie with Steve. Like,
including
just
me.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's your Valentine, Steve?
This guy. Myself. So we're joking about BJ, of course, gets butthurt because he's the mall guy.
I
didn't know that we had a certain distinction of being the mall guy, but he is.
The mall guy.
And he's like, I can't believe I go to malls all the time and you're going to have your face on a mall. It's like, I didn't know that this is even really going to happen. I just said to be an idiot.
I know.
And I love that Levi and John text me like, well, it's not South Hill, but we'll put them on the North Hill sign. So what's the name of the bar and restaurant again?
It's called The Mill.
The Mill
Restaurant and Sports Bar.
Okay.
I'm going to say, we totally focus on the scratch-made food.
What's your favorite dish? The one that, like, if people come that listen to the Migs cast, they should ask for?
Oh, there's a 36-ounce 30-day dry-aged tomahawk steak.
Oh, my God.
Yes. It is a tomahawk.
Wow.
It is a bone-in tomahawk steak. We do it for two. It comes out on its own butcher board, and then all your other sides come out on their own plate.
This is why,
this is legit.
Yeah, this is the reason why I need to go. like with my wife because it's for two,
yeah.
but she doesn't eat meat.
Me too.
There you go.
With my vegan wife, we should double date, but we'll get one each.
Yeah.
Like, oh, our bad.
Sorry. Didn't realize it was going to be so big.
Does it come with a side salad for our significant others?
Absolutely. Perfect. Absolutely. They can get the little grilled asparagus on the side. This Perfect. Is for you, honey. Yeah. It's for us.
That's dab-solutely.
Yeah, exactly.
It's plant-based. You'll love it. It's good.
Plant-based.
So when you're hungry after the dope show, you can step in there and grab a little 36-ounce steak.
Oh, man. That's fantastic, dude. Well, congratulations on the spot, man.
Thanks,
man.
Yeah,
really
it's
cool.
huge. We're doing big things. We're also huge supporters of the local music scene. Mm-hmm. We got different artists in there 2 days a week, every Wednesday, every Saturday, no matter what.
Nice.
Bringing back some old school. I mean, we even got like Xanadu coming in the house. I know that's an old name everybody knows.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got some Washed in Black, you know, the Pearl Jam tribute coming.
And Stargazer. Shout out to Steve
nice.
And the crew. Oh, the Mother Love Bone one?
Yeah.
When are they coming?
They're coming Friday, March 8th. That's going
to
be a huge one for us.
I'm going to make that. Friday, March. Brad, you want to go get some steak?
Ooh, I think so.
Friday, March 8th, you said. Let me just want to make sure I have
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing anything March 8th.
I'll double check.
I know.
I'm like triple booked that day, but maybe I could cancel both of those things.
Sorry, guys. I got to get some meat.
Or maybe go for it. I got a little lunch.
There you go. Oh, just a little lunch.
Yes.
We'll split a steak, a small lunch.
So we should plan a day to go down there. That'd be
Absolutely.
A lot of fun.
Hey, you guys should, man. Well, I'm always there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, no matter what. I'm behind the bar as well those nights. So.
Are you guys doing lunch as well there?
Yeah. Yes, okay. We do.
Awesome.
We open at 11 for lunch, and Sundays we do brunch as well, too.
Ooh. We'll do that for sure. Maybe, yeah. maybe like an impromptu gathering of some Mixcast people.
Oh,
yeah. Yo, meet us down there. Like at a random lunchtime one.
Yeah.
I'd be down for that. Okay,
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll coordinate with Levi, make sure
All
it's
right.
a good day to come
Everybody
in.
Everybody come in and get South Hill and North Hill stomach tattoos. It'll go down.
I'll hit up my buddy Tony Mitchell. He'll bring us his portable tattoo shop, and we'll go crazy. Good time.
Wow.
That's all. You guys on Facebook, website, how can people find you guys?
Absolutely. We definitely have a Facebook. TheMillAndMilton.com is too on there. All our events on there for all our music. Every single thing we do, we usually post all the events at least a month ahead of time. Super easy to find, right on Meridian, right in Milton.
Oh, okay.
Safeway
yeah,
parking lot,
yeah.
man. We're
all
right there.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
Can't miss it.
And if you stay out too late, go to Safeway and get some flowers on the cheap for your significant other.
or if she doesn't eat meat and you go to take her for a 36-ounce steak, here's some flowers as well.
It's
Sorry.
An honest mistake. It's an honest mistake. Emphasis on steak.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Wait, Levi, what else is going on in your world, my man?
We got an Afro Man's coming through. We're going to do a little 10-day Afro Man tour.
Really?
Yes.
And then I got high.
When's that start?
April 7th at the JNM also. And then it was a week after that, we're doing the dope show.
Right.
And then
Benny's going to...
Something for 420.
It's always something for 420.
Should have, like, Afro Man be there for the dope show.
That'd be great. I don't know how we could incorporate it. We just have him, like, do the mid, like, a
little acoustic
show.
Set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's got the double neck guitar.
Then you could get stoned with everybody. Not that you have zero opportunities to
Trust
smoke
me,
during
this. I get stoned with him. That's not a worry. We find time for that.
Has there been a time where you were like, I don't know if you should go on stage? You are way too high for this.
There's been a few times I had to wake people up. To like,
for real?
Wake up. Time to get on stage.
Those are like after dab hits or something like that. Because that's the only time that I've gone like comatose.
Ray, we don't allow dabs in the show anymore.
Good call. Good call.
We learned that lesson the hard way.
That was I remember one epic time where it was I could either listen to people and process stuff or have my eyes open.
Right.
If my eyes were open, I couldn't speak. Like
it's
I lost a
other.
Sense because of a dab.
Yeah, the last, not the last one, but the one before that, we had dabs at the on a Levi's bus. Somebody gave one of our performers dabs, and I was like, please don't.
He made it on stage that night,
yeah,
surprisingly.
Yeah, but not on time. we had to put somebody else in front of him. It was just like, God, this is great. It was like herding sheep on that show.
Who's your favorite Cats, of all the people you've had, like someone you could give props to that you always look forward to having do the dope show?
Always looking forward to, I don't know, I love all the performers I have. I have like okay. such a plethora of headliners. But there's some of the funniest ones though. You know, Dana Carvey?
Yeah.
So his kid, Tom Carvey, he's trying to do comedy.
Uh-huh.
So he's been touring with one of the headliners that I normally book, Susan Jones.
Okay.
And he was the first one that smoked and didn't make it back. That kid, like one, he hasn't done stand-up for very long and he has never done pot. Like it's
so he's never smoked weed, doesn't have any drugs.
You corrupted Dana Carvey's kid?
Yeah, I feel really bad about it. I was like, that's awesome. I figured he's like some Hollywood kid. He's probably done some drugs, but definitely not. Definitely
he's
not.
Just like straight laced. You're like, oh, sorry, guy.
Right. Just, yeah.
You get a phone straight call. Edge. Hi, this is Dana Carvey. What did you do to my son?
Oh, yeah, somebody else got that phone call.
Dana Carvey did call?
Yeah, he did call. He was pretty pissed.
No! Wait, he did. The kid told his dad what happened?
Yeah. But yeah, apparently that started him off on a path. Like, he started getting tattoos on the road and stuff. And like, started getting drunk. Whoa! Like, oh no.
The dope show was the gateway drug.
It really was.
Oh, man. I feel started bad laughing. Spiral.
Do you remember what the conversation? I know it wasn't you that got the call, but do you remember secondhand what the conversation was?
Oh, he was just pissed that somebody gave his kid weed. But I remember yelling at his name's Tom Carvey, and I was yelling at him. I was like, just get on stage, just go up there for like 2 seconds,
yep.
Just say you're too high to do this, and you'll be done. That's
perfect.
It. But he's like, nope, and I'm like holding his arm as he's like pulling himself outside of the venue. And
I gotta
just
go.
Like,
I gotta go.
Yeah, he just took
I'm
off.
I'm calling my dad.
Like, God damn it!
But first, I'm getting a tattoo.
Dad, I'm too stoned.
I was like, Mike Myers' kid did it, you pussy.
Oh God, that's fantastic. I love this story. It's freaking amazing. Of all things. Yeah.
Poor kid, but he's doing good now. He did redeem himself on the dope show. Like, it was a year later.
Oh, he came back.
He came back. Now he does like a dual one. He does it with his brother Dax. And like Dax is like the cool. He's the cool brother. And like, they went back on there and did it together. I feel like he had like an emotional support brother.
There you go. Yeah, right.
What are we gonna do to get Dad involved in this?
Oh God, I don't know if he would, but
That be insane?
That'd be pretty crazy.
Really cool.
Yeah. Who would you love to have do it?
Would I love to have do it? Well, I'm like a huge Bill Burr fan, but yep. I doubt he would ever. I don't think he smokes weed at all.
Yeah, I don't get the vibe that he does just from how he talks.
Right?
Sounds like he needs it sometimes.
Gosh, yeah, right?
Exactly. But Rogan would be dope, too. I know he's a big pothead.
Yeah.
That's like really reaching. I was trying to get big Jay Oakerson.
Yeah.
Jay's great. Big Jay, yeah.
Missed him by a day, which is a bummer. But we got some good comics coming up. One of my favorites is coming up is John Huck. He's going to be there in December. Mm-hmm. He's known for This Is Not Happening. He has like probably the best This Is Not Happening.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to watch that one.
It's the Oktoberfest with John Huck. You got to check that one out. It is so funny.
Have you had the person do what you were hoping he was going to do, where they just go up, I'm too high for this, and got right off?
Nobody's bailed that quickly.
That would floor me if that happened.
But we do have like records for people who ask like, how long have I been up here? Like, that will always get asked, and like, I think the record's like 10 seconds.
The only thing I can relate it to was, remember in the early days of our show when the times that BJ would call in sick and all bets were off, and one time we decided, you know, it'd be funny, let's see if we could do the show stoned. And I wish I had tape of this. And it was like, so it was around like 10 minutes to 6, we all went downstairs at the old building where there was
safety
like
meeting.
There's a little smokers area. We're like, there's no one smoking cigarettes at 6 in the morning or 5:50 in the morning. So we pull out a joint, we smoked some pot, went back up there. First break, I do a news segment. And I'm like, all right, I got this. And the minute we got on, I start reading the news. I maybe lasted like 3 sentences. And in my head, I thought, I've been talking for 10 minutes. This has got to stop. So I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And that's news. And they're like, and everyone looked at me like, you've been talking for 30 seconds, man. I'm like, I can't do this.
Need some more news out of you.
That one was crazy. And then there was the one where I don't even know if we could get into, but there was certain members, none of them work here anymore.
Yeah.
Certain members decided to do a different type of substance.
Oh.
What oh, that, God.
I mean, for some people, smells good, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe it was a Lars Ulrich break.
We don't need any more news.
I've never touched that, and I never will, and that's never been my world. And I remember them just watching going, this is a bad idea.
Oh, Turbo.
But Turbo for like a half hour, and then after that, it was awkward. Like, you're just like, guys,
everyone's
drink
just
an
sweating.
Energy drink.
Let's take another break.
Right.
Boss comes in. Everyone's got bloody noses except for me. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know, man. The Fight Club just broke out. Sorry, man.
They all sneezed really aggressively, sir. And had a Red Bull.
Oh,
no.
Oh,
God.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude, the one when I went to, some guy put a GIMP mask on.
if I remember correctly.
Right, yeah.
That was really weird.
Jake Silberman from Portland. He's a Portland comic. That's why it was weird.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah, exactly. He was great, but it was really weird. All of a sudden, he's doing his set, and he just...
So he doesn't come out wearing it. He just puts it on in the middle of it.
Oh, well, I'd say about like 5 seconds into the story.
Right.
Yeah,
he said he wanted it to be as weird for the audience as it was for him.
All right, well there it is.
I was like, you nailed it. That was super weird. I didn't see that coming. I didn't even know he was going to do that. That was like, oh no.
It was still funny, but it was just like, okay, I don't know how to feel about this.
Right. That guy's back on the show this month, too.
Nice. Keep the masks away from him, right?
Yeah. We're doing that show in Portland. We'll see. We'll keep the weird acts down there.
Watch, he's like very vanilla down there.
Exactly. What?
Well, that is weird for Portland, being the straight-laced guy.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. That's a good way of looking at it.
So for people that want to find out more about the dope show, where do they go?
You can go to my website, which is whosmokesweed.me.
Are you serious?
That is a very real website.
That is so fantastic. That's literally the best website I've ever heard in my life.
A lot of people don't believe it, but it's very real, and I had to pay extra for the .me, so please check it out. Worth every penny.
Whosmokesweed.me.
It turns out that's from Mexico. I had no idea.
Well, there you go.
If that's too hard to remember, you can just go to thedopeshow.com. Both will take you to the same spot.
I like the other one better, too. That one's way cooler.
I gotta have a vanilla one. Just so many people forget the Who Smokes Weed. They're like, smoke weed with me? So... Let's keep it easy. Keep it easy and keep it simple.
Levi, any last word?
We got the HempFest tryouts coming up again. So if you're an artist or a band or a musician, you want to get in on HempFest, just go to hempfest.org and hit the performers link and submit your EPK so we can review it.
And I've said it a million times. I always say it. If you ever need a party bus for whatever reason
it is.
Lion Pride party buses are always, not only just that you get there and from wherever you're going safely, but it's just... It sounds so cheesy, but it is a party on that party bus. I've never had a bad time on the party bus.
Love. Thank you.
Dude, the whole crew that is part of it, and you as well. You guys always bring a great time, and it's four buses now?
It was six, yeah.
Wow,
half dozen. Congratulations.
They're mobile billboards, you know, so we're just trying to advocate for don't drink and drive, don't smoke and drive, don't dab and drive, right?
Those are important things to remember
nowadays with
Seriously.
All the laws and news.
No, that's the only thing, though, is that whenever I get in the party bus, typically I get kicked out of bars because I'm just too wasted. Possibly events that I'm supposed to host for Levi. Never happened. Still my favorite story.
Steve's own dope
heard
show.
That story.
Yeah. I come out of the bathroom. I'm hurling in the bathroom. I got so wasted on the party bus. I'm hosting this Christmas party. And it was at a bar in Tacoma. And I come out of the bathroom holding the handicap rails because I was holding so hard I ripped them. I think they were already loose.
It was like Tacoma.
How hard
are you
vomiting?
Rather aggressively. And I'm like, huh. And then the security guy's like, you need to leave. And I'm like, okay. And then I hear Levi go, he can't leave. He's hosting my party. And I look at Levi, I go, no, he's right. I should leave.
Put him on the drums. So that's what we did. I think we put you on the drums after that.
No, that was before. I honestly think that was part of what killed me. And I went on the drums just to make... I didn't even want to play the drums. I just had a shot for the drummer. And I thought, well, now's a good time to offer it to him while he's playing a Rage Against the Machine song. So I walk up to him like, would you like this shot? And he's like... Yeah, you want to finish playing drums for me? I'm like, yeah.
I'll trade you the drumsticks.
Of course.
Does that work? All right.
It was a blast. We should do that again sometime.
Indubitably.
Well, thank you, guys. John, thank you. Congratulations with the new spot. Rev, we should talk. The mill in Milton.com.
Mm-hmm.
Find them on Facebook as well and just go down there and eat and drink and be merry and listen to some great music. Wash
giant
it black.
Steak.
Yes.
Mm.
Look out.
Yeah, right.
Tyler, dude, it's been great having you.
Thank you so much.
I didn't know if you, when I first saw him, I'm like, oh, it's good to meet you. Because I just assumed you didn't remember. And you're like, oh, I met you already. I'm like, okay, then cool. It's nice to see you. That was a great time. It was truly, I highly, highly recommend.
Highly.
I recommend anybody going to check out The Dope Show. You will be in tears laughing. It's just fun because it's like this weird experiment while also super talented comics are doing their show.
Totally.
And Levi, as always, I love you, brother.
Love you guys.
And we will see you, I'm sure, soon. We've got more stuff, I'm sure, coming up. And
yeah, just every weekend at the J&M. So just stop down and see me. We'll have the party bus parked in front of the J&M.
Levi, do Jaeger bombs. It's just a prerequisite. All right.
I'm wearing my Jaeger shirt today. Did you notice that?
Ted and I would laugh about it. I'm like, I don't remember the last time I've done Jaeger bombs. I'm like, So probably the last time we hung out with Levi. Oh, Levi will just feed you Jaeger bombs. Whew. It's trouble.
Looking for that sponsor. Come on, Yagi.
All right, and also a big thanks to Trevor, John, Rob. Thank you guys for coming.
We'll see you
tonight at WWE SmackDown, and we'll pop on out of here. Don't forget to do the Kickstarter for Travis Brock's solo record.
Yep,
Travis, the Last Funeral.
Yep, and if you go to the MixCast page, I've already posted it there. You can get the link right there, and go donate, man.
Yeah, let's gather up. Let's show him some love. Mm-hmm. He does some great stuff with Bruiser Brody, and now he wants to do a solo record. I'm really pumped for my brother. So
absolutely.
Other than that, if you're listening to this before SmackDown, you see me there. Be sure to say hi. Otherwise, this Friday, I'm busy with stuff. 3-2-1 battle. I'll be down there doing my thing, as
nice.
Always. At Evolve Fitness. Saturday, going to be in Portland for Defy Portland. That's going to be a blast. So more wrestling going on. And then Sunday, I'll be at Justin Timberlake, baby.
You will?
Hell yeah.
Of course, why not? He's playing the T-Dome, isn't he?
Yep, my wife. Nice. You know, my wife, she loves Timberlake.
All right, that makes sense.
And actually, I kind of like him, too.
Yeah, I know you do.
All right, so until next time, as always, stay positive, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah!
I think.
Probably.
All right.